Hello, welcome to the Nintendo Bros podcast. This is Pete.
And this is Derek.
And we have an exciting discussion today, don't we, Derek?
As always.
Sometimes it's more exciting than others.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
So today we're going to talk about the Switch, the new upcoming Nintendo console, whatever it may be, and our predictions.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it a fair bit over the past, I don't know, 6 months, calling it the Switch 2, but now we're kind of getting into the nitty-gritty details of our predictions.
Yeah, and I think it's time we lay down our predictions firmly in stone so that we can see who is right.
You make it sound like we're betting our souls on this.
Well, we do. Predictions, when it comes to a bet, is fun, even if we're not betting anything serious. Just bragging rights.
For sure.
So, I asked you a number of questions to prepare. I don't know if you, I know you didn't prepare them, but we've got these nine major things to predict, and I even have a bonus prediction as well.
Okay.
So I guess I'll put you on the spot.
You took this so seriously. Okay.
Well, if everything one of us says is true, and we can point back to this episode in a few months of everything we're saying being true, that'd be pretty miraculous, I think.
That'd be pretty cool. We'd probably get a lot of subscribers at that point.
Exactly. So for the point of this podcast, we will just call it the Switch 2. But to start us off on the predictions, and by the way, Derek, what we'll do for these nine questions is you can go first for the first one. I'll go first for the second one. We'll just kind of alternate who says their predictions first. So we're not
okay.
Copying each other's predictions, right?
It really does not matter to me.
I set my predictions written down to a third party moderator just so if you accuse me, I'm just kidding. Okay. So let's start us off, Derek. What will the name be? So I'm gonna throw that ball to you, Derek. What do you think the Switch name will be?
Yeah, so I hummed and hawed about this because I was thinking, you know, we've been using the term Switch 2 so often, and you know we've seen the Switch Advance and the Super Switch kind of thrown around online. So just because we've heard them all the time, I was leaning towards those kind of three. But really, if I was, I sat here for a minute and I was thinking about, Nintendo just doesn't do that. I mean, besides with the Super Nintendo and Game Boy Advance, but I just don't think they're going to do that. So I didn't have an exact name. I can pick one of these out of the list if you want me to. But I was thinking it'd be something kind of similar to the Switch in name, but it might have something to do with a gimmick. For example, it might be something like the Slide or the Go or like just something kind of a singular word like the Switches that might reveal more of its feature, kind of like how the Switch, you know, you could switch it from the portable to the handheld, you could switch out the controllers and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's going to be an iteration on Switch. I think it's going to have one of those kind of catchy names, and I'm going to go with something. It won't be this, but I'm going to go with like the slide.
Okay. And just so our listeners know, one of the questions on this prediction list is what will the unique hardware additions be? So I hope you have some ideas for what slide will mean.
I'll think of something.
Maybe it's waterproof and you can take it on a water slide.
that's the plan.
It would be pretty cool if you could play it fully underwater. That would be pretty cool. It'd be stupid. Okay, well, I went with a simpler approach. I thought about, you know, I know Nintendo doesn't usually do this with their naming conventions, but I really think it's just going to be called the Switch 2. I know it might seem lame, but I think, you know, in terms of I just think things like Super Switch and Advanced Switch and Switch U and New Switch, they've already done that. So for them to just put a plain number next to it is something they've never really done. And I think the 2 is, I mean, I just think they're going to want to avoid that catastrophe with something like the Wii U. And I think on one hand, you're right that they might just go with an entirely new name altogether. But I also think that's just as risky to rebrand the one of the most popular consoles of all time. I also think with the backwards compatibility that could be there, I really just think it's going to be a Switch 2.
The only counter I would say to that, though, is the Wii was also insanely popular. And they did keep the Wii naming in it. And I understand the Wii U is very different than the Wii 2. But, you know, the Wii brand, it actually caused them an issue by keeping that same name because people were confused about whether that was a sequel or not. And, you know, we have the Switch. We have the Switch Lite. We have the Switch OLED. I think they want to say, yeah, that's the Switch family. But we're actually making a brand new, this is the new console. It's not a Switch anymore.
Sure. I mean, that's a very fair counterpoint, but we have to remember that two facts there. The Wii had lost a lot of its momentum. That last few years. So that in that 2011 and 2012 year for the Wii were like incredibly empty in terms of game releases. And also the Wii U, putting, if they call it the Switch U, I would call that an incredibly stupid decision. But I think people understand what a 2 is. They understand it's universal. And I think after things like the success of the PS2 and how Sony's been successful with this pattern and Apple's been successful with this pattern, they'd be pretty smart to call it a Switch 2. And that also just kind of gives them the freedom to call it the Switch 3, call it the Switch 4, and keep this thing going for potentially 2-3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's my thinking when I think it'll be called the Switch 2. I mean, they call it the Super Switch, the new Switch. Like, those things are, in my opinion, are confusing. There's no confusion around Switch 2.
Especially when you're going, you know, one of your, I wouldn't say necessarily competitors, but one of the other big game console developers is using only numbers as their entire console development.
Exactly. And I think it's the safest route they could possibly take with letting people know this is still this popular Switch console that everyone loves, but it's also the newest, latest, most higher numbered, more advanced one. And I mean, obviously we've seen Microsoft flounder with their naming.
I just don't see it personally, just because historically Nintendo, I know I've already said this, but even when it comes to their video games, not a single one really uses the 1-2-3 iteration, and their consoles. Like, I see Nintendo as very, they don't throw caution in the wind, I won't say that, but they're very bold with, you know, let's go for the zany, unique approach.
Sometimes, but I mean, we just had Pikmin 4, we've had Mario Galaxy 2, we've had, you know, like, there have been a lot of numbered
sequels. That's true, there are more numbered than I was thinking of, like...
Xenoblade 1-2-3.
I was thinking, like, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze as opposed to Donkey Kong Country Returns 2.
Yeah, I think, and probably they should have called it Donkey Kong Country Returns 2. given the sales. No, I'm teasing. Okay, well, you call it the Slide, and I call it the Switch 2. Yeah. Okay, so the next question I have is, when will it be unveiled? So I'll go first here. I think it will be announced rather formally in May, this coming May, in their May investor meeting. I think they're going to start getting a lot of pressure to at least acknowledge this thing is coming. And I think in May they might say something along the lines of, yes, we plan to release, we are working on new hardware that is coming in the next fiscal year, or we'll have more details to share later this year. Like, I don't even know if we'll get a name. I just think in May we'll get, at least they'll acknowledge a new console is on the horizon. I then think that the official unveiling will be in October. I think they'll show us the console, they'll show us the features, they'll give us a release date, they'll show us the game lineup in this coming October, the same pattern that they had with the Switch and the NX. Now, I think if I'm right and it is called the Switch 2, I think they'll call it, they'll name drop it in May. I think they'll say the Switch, we are working on a Switch 2, a follow-up to the Switch. I think if it has some sort of silly name or some zany thing.
Is it Switch 2 or a follow-up to the Switch? Because those are very different things.
No, I just mean they'll announce that, they'll say we have a follow-up coming to the Switch. If they have some sort of zany name like Slide, or Nintendo Star Cube or something, that will just say we have new hardware on the horizon. So I think the main thing we'll gather at the very least from a May investor meeting announcement is whether or not it's going to be confirmed to be a kind of a direct follow up to the Switch, or if they're going to try to kind of act like this is a new thing they've been working on. What do you think, Derek? What's the unveiling path that you think?
Yeah, so mine is fairly similar to yours. Mine was a little bit later in guessing as far as months go. So I didn't really think about the investors meeting. I'm sure, you know, there's a good chance that that actually is where they kind of start talking about it. But I think the actual, you know, first kind of public mention of it will be in their kind of, you know, pseudo E3 June direct, where I could see it at the very, you know, in the middle of it, the president comes out, or at the end, and he says, there is a successor to the Switch on the way. Stay tuned for more details. And like, it'll be just that, just to kind of say that, yes, there's something coming, or it'll say stay tuned for, and it'll give a month. But I think it'll be very short. It'll be one or two sentences. Like, it won't be there's no image. There's not even a name. It'll just say there's a successor to the Switch coming. Stay tuned for more details at a later direct. And then I think we'll get that kind of, you know, that percolation of information from, you know, people that have, whether it's leakers or people that have claimed to play it, or, you know, analyzing the specs of the system without ever having seen it. And then I think you said October. I was thinking November, or at the absolute latest January. So November or maybe January, we'll see an actual direct launch, kind of like we did for the Switch, similar to what you said. And I think that's where they'll actually show some launch window games. They'll kind of do that kind of blowout moment, and they'll show the name and show the device and the special gimmick that I'm imagining. And I think, are we also doing the release date? Can I want me to add that too as one?
Well, that's the next out? That's the next prediction question. So wait, okay. you're saying they will do a full unveiling this fall?
Well, I said either November, or I was leaning more to January. I could see them doing November based on the when I think it'll release. But I think January makes the most financial sense, because the Switch is still selling unbelievably well. So I could either see them showing it in November and saying the Switch regular is getting us a price cut for the holidays, or they don't and they say January, boom, it's coming in X months.
Now, I think the reason that I firmly predict that it will be shown more a bigger showcase this year for sure, is I just don't think if they're gonna show early in the year, like they're gonna want to start, like they gotta have the marketing cycle for some of these big games. So I really think they're really gonna need to at least unveil some of their big new games the way that we saw Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild prior to the holiday.
You're right. I could see one big game, maybe a second one that's not actually I could see a release game being shown, but we actually don't know it's a release game.
Kind of like the way they showed Odyssey and Splatoon 2 in that initial Switch unveiling.
Exactly.
And yeah, then, I agree. Like a clip show that shows like an amazing shot of Mario running across a field, and the graphics are great, but that's it.
Yeah, exactly. So we know these things are in the works and coming, and I think they can hype the game. I think there's going to be a tentpole game, and then three or four strong titles coming out within the first 12 months.
I agree.
I think there'll be a strong tentpole game. I think they'll show that one, and they'll kind of dive into that one a fair bit. And I hope it's not, you know, cross-gen, but it might be. But I think they'll show that game a lot without even showing what the Switch 2 is. They'll say, this is this is a game that's coming to the successor. This is what it looks like, right? But they don't have a release.
I think that if we see that game, we're going to have to get the details of the hardware at the same time. I don't see them saying, hey, look, here's a deep dive into the new 3D Mario, but we're not going to tell you how the Joy-Cons are different. I just don't, that's not really their MO.
I think of the Breath of the Wild approach, where I know it was already announced a long time earlier, and it was already for the Wii U, but I'm just saying they really showed that as a Switch game, and it came out with the Switch on day one. So I could see it being the same idea where it's like, here's Mario, here's a Mario world, here's him doing crazy stuff, and then come October or November, they say, yeah, that game's actually a launch title for the Switch 2. Here's a full blowout out of that game, and here's another five games coming the next 12 months too.
Interesting. I disagree, I guess. I just don't see them... I only see that happening if the game is cross-gen. Like they say, hey, brand new big 3D Mario game coming for Switch, and then at some point when they unveil the Switch 2, they say, and that Mario game is going to be on Switch 2 with enhancements. But I just don't see them doing that. I think their big tentpole game will be an exclusive.
Yeah, I think it'll be an exclusive too. I just think that it will be shown. It'll be shown.
Interesting. Okay, I think the hardware details will come along with though that tentpole release details. I think they'll be. I think if the new Mario game is at the very
But you said
least.
but I'm so confused because you said they were gonna show that game and the system in October, and I just said no. I said November.
Oh, I thought you were kind of jumping between November or next year, and that's why I was just kind of saying why I
Yeah,
generally
I was
waited to this
between
year.
yeah, like I was between November and January just based on when the release date I imagined. I leaned towards November. January just for sales sense of Christmas the Switch One. But when I so I'll tell you my release date in a second, but I think November makes more sense based on the release date that I predict.
Okay, well, what is your real prediction for the release date?
I think it'll be like mid-March 2025.
Okay, so I'll just say my prediction was March 2025 as well.
Okay.
But I think I'm just trying to get clarity on what you're going at. So I think if anything, they will this year in October their fall unveiling, let's call it, whether it's October or November, I think the switch to hardware will be the focus. Not necessarily that they wouldn't show their tentpole release games, but I think if anything, it'll be the hardware itself that gets the focus, not the tentpole release. And then we'll get details on the tentpole release after Christmas. So I think we'll actually like what will happen is we'll get like a big unveiling showing the hardware and what's new about it, and we'll get like a little sizzle reel that shows some of these games, including that 3D Mario game. And then we'll have to wait till January for the big unveiling and name dropping of the Mario game.
That
And I guess
I mean
you
that yeah.
feel the opposite. You feel they'll show the Mario game big time and then unveil the details of this console later. Am I getting that right?
So I mean I totally think yours is very probable. I saw it more as like maybe in again for that E3 June or maybe in I don't know, I haven't really thought about exactly what the order of this stuff, but I like for, what could happen is let's say that June Direct they show you know, that 10 seconds of Mario just standing on a hill looking over the world, right? Not even him running around, just that kind of 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And say more will be revealed at a later date. Like a new Mario's coming, more will be revealed. And then in that November showing of the hardware, I think we'll get, I'm not saying we'll get 15 minutes, but we'll get, you know, 90 seconds of gameplay of Mario, and then we'll get 45 seconds of this game and 45 seconds of this game and whatever, and then this how the new Switch 2 works. And then you're right, I think we'll get more details over the next 4 months leading up to the release, but I think we'll see a decent, you know, a trailer of a minute or two of in that November.
Interesting. Okay. I just my gut is that the moment they show us this brand new tentpole game, if we're speculating it's going to be a 3D Mario, whatever it is that the Switch 2 is doing that's new will be incredibly apparent from even a screenshot. And I and
Yep, but I'm
so
saying what sorry, maybe I wasn't clear. What I'm saying is in that June direct when the president comes out and says the Switch 2 is coming, take a look. It will just show that 10, 15 seconds of Mario on the hill.
yeah, that'd be cool. And then he's like, "Oh, we have a new Switch 2 that's gonna like has new technology." And they show like one clip of Mario on like a big open world or something like.
Exactly. Like it's kind of like I was thinking of, you know, this is a little bit different, but you know that Zelda like demo on the Wii U where they could change the lighting and you could fight Gagona or whatever and
Yeah. Okay. Yep. The initial Wii U Zelda trailer or
yeah,
Zelda
like
teaser.
exactly. Like just but even shorter than that, just like at 10, 15 seconds, like almost when the Breath of the Wild running away from the Guardian, like just that one of those really small
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more likely that the latter, of where it'll be like that when Aonuma showed off Breath of the Wild at E3 2013, where it was like you saw the field, you saw him run away from the Guardian, him jump off and fire the arrow at it. I don't think it'll be as much of like a tech demo like what we saw in the
No,
2011 E3 with Zelda.
agreed. I just meant more so like it'll be a really small snippet of saying this is what the new system is capable of, but you gotta wait for more. But just like kind of getting people being like, oh, damn.
Yep, I agree. Okay, and then the next prediction question was, what will the price be? Just a reminder, it's tough because we're talking and sometimes I think about these things in American prices because that's kind of like the way they tout it. we're both in Canada, and that would be probably $100 more. The Switch was $299.99 when it first. It still is. So the Switch was announced at
American
$299.99, $399.99 Canadian. Yeah. So I predict the Switch 2 will be a whole $100 more. I think it'll be $399.99, which would make it the most expensive Switch Nintendo console ever. I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation, but I think they have the pedigree. I think they're going to put enough into the system that it's worth it. And I think given the sales and the cost of something like PS5 and iPhones and iPads, I don't think they're worried about it. Also, you know, inflation. I don't think they're going to launch this thing at $299.99.
Said the exact same thing I did. That's exactly the same price and even the same reason. It's just the kind of inflation, rising cost of prices, like that's not, you know, unfathomable. I think that's a reasonable price.
Yep.
It still caters to their market of, you know.
With that said, I think when they do this Switch 2 unveiling this year, they will also announce a Switch 1 price drop this year, only by $50 to $249.99. the launch price of the Wii. But I also think they will have a game, an opportunity to have a digital free copy of a game. And that will be almost like a permanent, from now until for the going forward, the Switch 1 will be $250 with a digital download of your choice of like five games. And I also think they might have a new color with it, like a new Switch color, and be like, hey, this is the, like the kind of like the Switch, they're going to keep selling the Switch 1. It'll be a lower cost, and it'll kind of be like going into the twilight. Like, it'll, for the next year or two, they'll probably still sell the Switch 1. And this will kind of be like its final color and price and iteration.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Okay, so the next question, and I'm glad that you're going to be answering this one first, is what unique hardware changes or additions will the Switch successor have, if any?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this, and you know, I know I said the word slide, and I'm still gonna go with that. But I was thinking other words, like could be the reach, for example. And I think what they could build off of, and I'm sure you have something similar too, is kind of what the Wii U had, where you had a screen also with the TV, right? So you have your handheld and the TV, and I could see them finding a way where you almost like swipe this, almost like what we do with iPhones, right? You can swipe your iPhone onto the TV, and then all of a sudden you're displaying what your phone is displaying. And I could see it in a way where they have it's set up for, like, say, smart TVs, where you could just bring your Switch to someone's house or to a different TV in your place, and you could just swipe it up, and it would just go on the other TV. So I could see there's some kind of, I don't know how technology would work, I'm just spitballing here. You could just see them trying to play more into that, you know, you can play absolutely anywhere kind of reality of, this is a handheld, sure, this is a TV, sure, but it's like, play on any TV. Because I think really the only limiting factor in my mind as far as it being like a multiplayer system and being a universal system is that you need the dock somewhere. So I think this kind of just opens up the possibility of maybe there's a lot more, you know, touchscreen functionality built in. Maybe the gyro in the handheld works for games that are using the screen, the television screen. I don't know. Like, I'm just spitballing, but that's kind of how I imagine is, like, they could find a way to add a gimmick that would be used, but doesn't detract from the kind of the core gaming zeitgeist that people feel. Because, for example, like the Wii, I know the Wii sold really well, but the Wii had kind of this huge game-changing gimmick, and I don't think they're gonna play this kind of thing where it's like this, you know, the Switch 2 has this brand new thing that's universally, could we love it or hate it, who knows. I don't think they're gonna roll that dice. I think the features they're gonna add are going to be a development on their current Switch model and Switch ideas, but won't take away from the core philosophy of what gamers want, or some you know, hardcore gamers want of just straight up, I want to be able to have a controller on my TV, or I just want to be able to have a handheld.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's some ideas there of, like, how can we, you know, take this a step further? Kind of like, you know, when I think about the DualSense on the PS5, like, the, you know, they have the gyro aiming, which all systems do, but they have these kind of cool triggers now. You can turn them off. It's not mandatory for any game, but it just adds that extra cool little enhancement, kind of like HD Rumble, right? It's that extra little thing, but doesn't totally change the landscape of that gaming ecosystem. So that's kind of how I envision it.
So you're predicting almost like a kind of how you can cast your Apple devices to your smart TVs.
Exactly.
Functionality. Yeah. And I'm going to say, I think that would be very, very cool to basically say, it'd be such a cool marketing to say, bring your Switch to your friend's house and you don't even need the dock.
Exactly.
Just put the Switch on the table and then it shares the screen with the system.
Exactly.
With that said, to play devil's advocate, why I don't know if I see that happening.
I don't actually see that happening. I just think it's in the realm of my guess.
For one, there's a lag there involved there, right? There's a potential lag, which isn't really that fun for game play. So, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm casting my Apple computer to my TV, it doesn't really matter if there's a slight delay because we're just, you know, watching something or I'm showing a document. But if you're playing a game and or in most games where, like, you know, your response time matters, I that's going to be a caveat to get over.
Okay, but I'm gonna play devil's advocate against that, because streaming handhelds and casting handhelds and devices like the PS Portal or, you know, Xbox game streaming service, like, those things work well. PS Now,
there's a main difference there, and the main difference is that with the PS Portable, you have a dedicated console from Sony and you have a dedicated handheld from Sony that are connecting on their own RF frequency. Where if I'm doing it to a TV, here's the other thing to play devil's advocate. There's no catch-all solution for smart TVs. It's not like the Switch device can have that built in. TVs that allow for Apple casting, they have Apple software built into the TV.
So that's what I was kind of saying about, I didn't know how it would work. I couldn't imagine. Maybe there's like a little pod that, you know, you can buy for, I don't know, $40.
Think is more likely, like a USB stick or a little thing that sticks out of the HDMI port with a little pod. You're right, but I just don't see Nintendo developing for, because the truth is, to do those kind of things on a wide spectrum of smart TVs is not very easy. Like, you know, it takes, like, Nintendo would have to be working on this with almost every smart TV out there. So
unless they had one of those hardware devices.
Yeah, or maybe they have. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe they that is something they plan to do. Or maybe they show it off and they go, okay, well, at first it's only on this Samsung, this LG, and this Sony TV. But as time goes on, we're going to get it on other TVs as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that I got to agree. I don't think they're going to do that. But that would be a really cool feature to say, hey, like, you don't need to bring your dock. It'll just work on any smart TV.
Yeah, I agree. I think the chance of that is unlikely. When I was thinking about it, I thought of the same hurdles as you. Is like, just the feasibility of designing that is very tricky. I just think it would be kind of a really cool idea of, like, it's adding an extra layer but doesn't change the whole thing.
And, you know, one of the things that I suggested, I think, last time was that maybe the dock itself could still output a video signal and have some sort of internal hardware, just a minimal hardware, so that if you were playing handhelds, you could have a little bit of a Wii U experience where, you know, let's say one person's holding the handheld and it's like you're playing Nintendo Land, where the screen has the TV is outputting like a simple map, while the person on the handheld can kind of, no one can see what they're doing. You know, like those types of gameplay opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wouldn't be incredibly difficult. I think that's more possible that they just kind of come out and say, hey, look, the dock can still output to the TV without the Switch in the dock.
Mm.
But the only devil's advocate on that suggestion is that, one, the Wii U was a big failure. And B, there's always a clunkiness around that where it was like, okay, well, does a developer develop it for two screens? Now it's limiting the people who can play it. It's just kind of a clunky thing to ask developers to now build their game and their gameplay around kind of maybe having two screens, maybe not, maybe being handheld, maybe not. It seems a little clunky. So my hardware predictions are, I mean, and obviously I think we can agree it's going to have more power, more memory, more RAM. It'll have better graphics.
Yeah, I didn't even name those. Yeah.
SSDs. Like, I think Nintendo will do things being like, oh, we have like Nintendo solid state technology, which is just them putting a solid state drive in. And I think they are working, they're obviously working with NVIDIA again. NVIDIA is the leader of AI upscaling and ray tracing. So I think we'll see things like, you know, they might have a funny term for it, but they'll be like, yeah, we like it's upscaled to 4K, and we also have like a ray tracing built in, and features that maybe in like the computer, the PC space are just kind of like whatever. But Nintendo will kind of tout this as a feature, almost the way Sony touted the SSD load screen, sorry, the SSD load times as a brand new feature of the PS5. You know, they're like, look at Ratchet, look how fast you can load. I think Nintendo will kind of play that card a little bit with these kind of more traditional hardware upgrades.
Yeah.
I also think that the Joy-Cons will be improved. I don't think the Joy-Cons from the Switch will be compatible, and I don't think the Joy-Cons on the Switch 2 will be compatible. I think they'll call it the Joy-Con 2.
I agree with that, and I think the quality will be higher, yeah, for sure.
I think the quality will be higher. I think the buttons will be better. I think the motion controls will be slightly improved, and I think the actual like kind of rumble controls will be slightly improved as well. Mm-hmm. Now, my main prediction, we've talked about this before, is I think the Switch Joy-Cons will have an IR sensor on the top of the controller near the triggers. And Wii IR functionality is going to come back to the Switch. And this will be a main feature and selling point of the Switch 2. And that when you play... obviously, it's not going to work handheld. It's going to... I mean, it might work handheld if you, you know, take the Joy-Cons off. And maybe the console can act as its... Like, maybe the top bar of the Switch itself has a little bit of an IR light, so that you can, like, you know, play in tabletop mode. But I think they'll also ship with a small, much smaller than the Wii one, a very small sensor bar to be put below the TV. And I think that Wii functionality is coming back, and I think that we'll see Wii games on the NSO. They'll come out and say, yeah, we're having Wii games on the NSO channel. And I think they'll bring back IR functionality straight up. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were kind of mum about releasing lots of Wii ports. I think that's why the Mario 3D All-Stars collection was kind of like, okay, let's just release it and brush it under the rug. And I think that's why we haven't seen Galaxy 1 and 2 remasters. Like, all these types of things. I think with this IR sensor on the top of the controller, they will be able to bring back that kind of glory of the Wii functionality.
The only thing I'll say is, I'm not saying that's not possible. I agree that's in the realm of possible. I don't think, though, that people are on board with IR right now. Like, I think every console and every type of gyro aiming is not using IR. And everyone's fine with it. I don't see very many people complaining, saying, I wish IR came back.
Well, you know, now let me interject there and say, sure, gyro works when you're finessing the aim. Gyro works when you're doing, you know, rolling a marble on the screen. But when it comes to pinpoint accuracy for first-person shooters and games like World of Goo, and games like, let's say they release a new Duck Hunt, it's much, much better with IR.
Yeah, but I played World of Goo on the Switch, and it works fine. No, there's like no issues whatsoever.
Well, all I know is that playing things like Metroid Prime with the Joy-Con features, as far as a gyro aiming, is miserably worse. I know that most people who have played World of Goo do not say the IR controls are nearly as good. And I also think with a mix of IR and upgraded motion controls, they can tout the best. They can be like, these are the best motion controls you can have. Maybe it's even a functionality where it acts a little bit like the PlayStation Move, where it's like you can actually lift that Joy-Con and move it around, and it's with incredible detail figuring out where that how that controller is being used.
Yeah, like the one thing I was thinking about that kind of made me agree that this is possible is if they built, let's say, some new technology, some new software or whatever, and said, we're bringing IR back because we're now using, and they almost would show a little diagram. They're saying, imagine the Wii Motion Plus with the infrared sensor, with the gyroscope built into the Switch Joy-Con, and put them all together, and they could actually say, this is the most pinpoint accurate motion controls ever.
Yep.
Right? And they're saying they have a technology that uses all three to calibrate, like they're all three of those things are working simultaneously to have like just like amazing accuracy. You know what I mean? They work
absolutely
together.
Absolutely.
That would be cool.
There's a reason that Pikmin 3 as well. I don't know if you played it on the Switch. It is so much better with the Wii remote. There's a lot of games where that Wii remote, and honestly, I think that, like, yes, us hardcore gamers know it, but I think Nintendo knows it too. And I also think the fact that the Switch has two Joy-Cons means it's not like the Wii where you have to go out and buy another $90 Wii remote. It literally ships with the potential to play with two players. And it's the kind of thing where, like, it can bring back an entire world of casual gaming of, you know, trivia games where two people are aiming on the screen. And I mean, I know that's
Boom
a basic
Blocks,
example.
Umbrella Chronicles, Wii Sports. Like, there's, yeah,
exactly that whole world of shooters. And I really think that's going to be a way for Nintendo to also say, you know, and honestly, I think it's a benefit to say, yeah, we now have, you know, first-person shooters and Call of Duty, and we can run those games now, and we're the only system that has it at this level,
mm-hmm.
where you can,
that'd be cool,
aim and shoot, and also pass the controller to a friend. Now they can play right away with you.
Yeah.
So I mean, also I'm just gonna say this is my prediction, but it's also my dream. Like I really hope they do it. It's the one thing with the Switch that I was kind of like, ugh, you know, and I get that it wasn't the direction they were going with it, but. Man, those Wii IR aiming controls, that was a big, that would, in my opinion, was a bigger leap in game design and than the motion controls were. The motion controls obviously got all the kids and the families and the sports, Wii Sports. But the IR controls was like the hidden awesome upgrade that I think.
Yeah.
And also, you know, yeah, I also think they're just open the floodgates on the Wii games. Now, the next question. And my answer sort of has to do with it.
Okay.
my hardware answer has to do with it. Launch games. What are Nintendo's launch games? And I guess...
You go first.
I go first. So I think I said it a few times on the podcast. I really believe that a new 3D Mario is coming. I think it's... I mean, I won't go into too much detail about what I think the game will be, but I think it'll be... really beautiful graphics, but I think it's going to be, and what I think is going to be the jaw-dropping thing with the Breath of the Wild moment for 3D Mario, is it's going to take the Mario Galaxy concept, and it's going to smash it together with the Bowser's Fury concept. So you're going to see a seamless world, and they're going to tout that it's seamless with the SSD and yada yada, and I think you're going to be able to fly... And I think you're going to be able to fly from planet to planet, similar to Outer Wilds, or that Star Fox game, Starlink, not Starfield, where there's horrific load times. It's going to be zero load times, and you're going to be able to do a triple jump and fly. And the big moment, like the Breath of the Wild moment, will be Mario will do a triple jump with a cape on. They're going to bring the cape back, and Mario will be able to fly up into space and land on another planetoid. And obviously it's not going to be like a massive universe. It'll be like a solar system with, you know, maybe 20 planets, and some of them are very big. But I think that's going to be this big moment for the 3D Mario. And let's be honest, that's a freaking awesome idea.
Do you think they're... You don't even let me respond. You say your idea is awesome. Do you think it'll be called Mario Galaxy 3?
No, I think it'll be called Super Mario Universe.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have a number 3 next to a launch game. I think they're going to tout this as a big thing. And I think Mario's going to kind of go into that open world space. And I think the thing that's cool about it is that it'll kind of... Like, let's say there's 120 stars across this galaxy. And basically, it'll be everything from landing on a planetoid and talking to a little NPC and getting a mission to finding a cave or finding a castle or a ghost house and going in and beating the boss and getting it. Like, it'll just be kind of like go anywhere, get stars in any order. And maybe they will have a little light gatekeeping, like, oh, you can't go to this planet until you have 40 stars, and you can't go to past this limit until you have 60 stars, and maybe you can't even get the cape until you have the first 25 stars. But I really think they're going to go that direction, and I think they've been working on it for a long time, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Breath of the Wild team is working with the Mario team. And I think this will be their main big launch title. Now, with that said, I also think that because of my prediction with this Wii IR functionality and improved rumble, improved motion controls, the other launch game Nintendo's going to have is going to be Switch Sports Resort. Or Switch Sports Island, or Switch Sports Universe. I don't know. Switch Sports something. It won't be Switch 2 Sports.
Mario Universe and Switch Sports Universe.
It's like the Switch Universe. No, I actually think it'll be called Switch Sports Resort. And I think it's going to be kind of like what we like. Basically, Switch Sports was very successful. I think it was the kind of game, and it's also pretty fun, but it does feel a little light. But it's sold like 10 plus million copies. I think Nintendo's going to want to get that Switch Sports sequel out early on in the life cycle. I think it's a great game to get parents on board, and like it's just like it's the kind of multiplayer game that's casual that they would want to launch with. Switch Sports came out, what, in 2022? So they've had 2.5 years to work on it. And I think it's gonna be kind of things like, okay, we have all the games from Switch Sports in it, much like Switch Sports Resort, but it's also gonna have things like target practice with the IR functionality. It'll have archery, and it'll have things that show off the new functionality of the new Joy-Cons. And I think where the Mario game might have some sort of stuff the way Odyssey did, you know, maybe I don't think it'll have full-on pointer controls to collect star bits, because I think they'll want to show that it's a handheld game playable as well. But I think that the Switch Sports Resort will be the kind of game that you really have to take the Joy-Con off the system. It's not a handheld game, it's a multiplayer party game. And that's my prediction for Nintendo's games. I also think I just put a little list of what I think some of the third-party launch games will be. I think we'll see Resident Evil Remake 4 with IR
You know
controls.
you're answering question 7 right now.
No, I'm answering launch games.
I know, but
Third-party
okay.
notable third-party ports could be within the first year, and you know what I mean? Like these are the actual launch games, I think. So I think we'll see Resident Evil 4 Remake with the same awesome controls from Resident Evil Wii. How awesome would that be? Just don't you think that'd be awesome? Okay, and we'll see Call of Duty. Whatever Call of Duty is coming out this year, we'll get a Switch port with the motion IR functionality. We'll see Baldur's Gate 3 with pointer functionality. And all those three games are gonna be it. Look, IR functionality is back. On top of that, I think we'll see the Tekken new tech the most released te or sorry, the most recent Tekken game. I think we'll see Street Fighter. I think we'll see Elden Ring. And I think we'll see Assassin's, whatever freaking Assassin's Creed, I don't care. I just think Ubisoft has always been there. So that's kind of my prediction on the launch lineup. I'm sure there'll be some like games for kids too, My Little Pony and whatever. But yeah, that's my list of I think that launch would be pretty power launch.
Nice.
What do you think, Derek? What do you think?
Yeah, I have some similar ideas to you, something that I slightly disagree with, but on the same kind of page. I do agree that there will be a Mario launch title. I just think it's been so long since we had a 3D Mario game. It did well for them to release Odyssey when the Switch came out early on. I don't necessarily agree with the idea of it's going to be a Galaxy 3 universe kind of idea. I think it'll be probably open world in a sense, just like how you said Bowser's Fury is, but I think it'd be more grounded like in the Mushroom Kingdom. I kind of imagine, Mario Odyssey at the very end of the game where you have that big kingdom, you can run around the field. I just imagine that, but it's like there is Toad Town right nearby, and you can jump up the buildings kind of like you could in Mario Odyssey in the desert where they had that little town. You can jump on the roofs and do all these kind of flips and crazy stuff, and then you could run on a path almost like how Paper Mario 64 is designed, where you could just run to the left and then you're entering a woods, and then you have to do like a, there's a Boo woods, and there's like, but it's huge, right? And then you could go down a pipe and there's like a little world there or a little area there to do a couple stars, and you leave the pipe and somewhere else in the woods there's something like a puzzle, and then you might get a power up there that you can bring somewhere else. And it's like, if you go through the woods, then you're at like another town with the Koopas, and then
yeah, that'd be like cool.
I think it's just kind of like a bigger world.
You agree that it won't be this traditional 3D Mario that's like segmented into, you know, 12 stages, 10 stars each. Like, it's going to be more seamless.
I think it'll be more seamless as well. Yeah. I think they will continue doing segmented level Marios, but I think they'll leave that for the 2D, especially that after Wonder did so well. I just think they're going to try to make the new Mario game kind of reflect the evolution of Zelda. They're saying, whoa, Zelda really kind of changed the formula and it did wonders for Zelda. And I think they might try that same idea with Mario, saying, hey, let's just try this new way of looking at Mario. We can still have the old school way of Mario Wonder and make a 2D level-based Mario game.
Yeah.
But let's just see what we can kind of go crazy with for their mainline.
Totally Mario. Agree. And to be honest, I think they would have... I think that's the natural progression. I don't see any argument against it. Because, you know, something like, it'd be the same thing as something like Mario Odyssey, where New Donk City has a pipe, and you jump in the pipe, and you instantly pop out of the pipe in the wooded forest kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's no reason to not keep that incredibly seamless. I just think that, you know, that's really cool, but I just think there's something really... I think there'd be something really groundbreaking, like Outer Wilds, in the idea that you can actually run around the entire planet, and it's like the whole surface of the planet is...
And I think that's cool. And I think Mario Galaxy is, you know, it's a really awesome kind of part of Mario's history. But I don't think Mario should be defined by this outer world space exploration. Like, when I think of Mario, it's like, I want to explore the Mushroom Kingdom. Like, let me frickin' explore. Let me go to you know, P.D. Piranha's, like, Piranha Maze and do all this kind of cool stuff. And let me go into the Labyrinth Pyramids with the Hammer Bros. Like, let me see those kind of worlds before flying out into outer space. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad idea. And, I you just kind of made me think of a cool idea. It would be cool if there was fast travel in the game. So you unlock different pipes in the world, let's say. And then to fast travel, you just open up your menu and you select one. And all the load time is Mario, like, he like brings up a pipe beside him. He jumps in it, and all of a sudden he comes out the pipe where you want it to go in the world.
Oh, that'd be a cool feature.
Anyway, so that's my first launch game.
Can I just add one more thing about my prediction for the 3D Mario?
Sure.
I think one of the things that I think in touting their SSD, super fast SSD in the Switch 2, they're going to be able to show Mario flying like incredibly fast. It'll be like, they'll like press down the R trigger or something, and Mario will like go really, really fast. And I think to kind of mitigate, the kind of control the gameplay, there will be areas where like you land on a planet and then instantly you lose your cape. And it's like, okay, well now I have to actually play this like a regular Mario game, 3D Mario game, and you have to maybe beat a boss on a planetoid to get your cape back to fly again. So you can't kind of, you know, cheat the level. I mean, that's just one of my side predictions. But
yeah, like, I think it's a cool idea. I mean, if we want to really get into like game philosophy and mechanics, like the reason most games don't have like you being able to fly absolutely anywhere like that is because it can just be game breaking and kind of, it's hard to structure a game like that. And I just think it's a cool idea. I just think philosophically that won't work, at least right now.
I feel like they'll find ways to gatekeep it, though. Like you said, you go on a planet, there's a pipe. You go in the pipe, you don't have the cape anymore. Like, there's tons of opportunities in a Mario world to keep the open world separate from the gameplay itself.
Why not just run there? Like I personally don't feel the need to have to fly somewhere just to go into the pipe anyways. We'll see what it is. I think we both agree that the Mario's coming.
To be honest, there just hasn't been that. When flight has been is a big part of Mario... And in Mario 64, it was one of the coolest things to fly around some of the stages. But that's rather small and limiting by today's standards. When they brought flight back to Galaxy, it was all streamlined. And then they had the one thing that you could fly around only in the Space Observatory, we just haven't had the opportunity to see what flight could do in a 3D Mario space. So that's why I think it's just, it's almost like a, I just think it'd be awesome. I just think that it's a natural evolution of Mario and flying.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's very cool. Like, I really like the idea. I just don't think that's going to be I just don't see it.
I know. It's a prediction. So, yeah. Someone can say, exactly. No, it's just going to be a level-based Mario 64 remake.
Yeah. No, yeah. I didn't predict, like, the Switch Sports idea, or I didn't even go through the third party at this point. But I do agree that, like, those things seem very reasonable, especially the games you listed in the Switch Sport idea. The one I was thinking of is... You know, I could see them bringing back either an old retro game, not a retro game, but like a franchise. Like, I could see them showing a Star Fox game. I don't think that that's necessarily what they're going to show. I could also see them bringing back or showing an ARMS 2. Like, I think they're going to want to also, again, have one of those multiplayer games. So the Switch Sports, great idea. I just didn't think of that. I was thinking like, oh, ARMS did pretty well when it came out at the beginning. Maybe ARMS 2 with, you know, like you said, better motion controls and better impact. And maybe they have a new attack where you can actually aim your IR sensor and do some kind of special move or something. I don't know. I just think part of the selling point always for Nintendo is these multiplayer games, these couch co-op games. So I could see them really saying Mario is the single player game, but here's the co-op game of ARMS 2 or, you know, Star Fox as a team or something.
I agree, and it's just so hard to predict when and how Nintendo's going to bring back like an old franchise. Mm-hmm, but it is worth mentioning that Sakurai has been working on something for a while now. Yeah, I mean, he's not just sitting and relaxing.
He's making that YouTube stuff, and then people he's on the next Smash.
I think he gets I think the same way he did Kid Icarus for 3DS, he's kind of got like, you know, they just said make a game. You know, he got to choose whatever Nintendo IP he wanted. So I have a feeling if he's not doing something completely unholy original, he will kind of pull from the old old bank of Nintendo games, Nintendo franchises and work from there. But it's just it's too hard to predict. But I will say in terms of ARMS, I don't think they're ever bringing that series back. I think
it did pretty well.
Not really. 2 million in sales, under 80 on Metacritic. Not great, considering that some of their other...
Had a Smash Bros. Character.
Sure, and I don't think they consider it a flop, but I just think it's one of those things where, like, we're not going to see an ARMS until people are like, hey, remember that game ARMS from 30 years ago? And, like, they'll be like, okay, here's another ARMS now. Maybe. I just don't think it's going to be like a regular every console gets an ARMS. It's, to be honest, I liked ARMS as a one-off. I don't think I'd buy another ARMS game. Like
that's fair. And like, you know, even though I named that and I think it's possible and that was my prediction, I just was kind of more emphasizing the fact of a multiplayer co-op game. And honestly, after hearing your idea of Switch Sports, I actually like your idea better than mine. So I just was kind of hit that point of they will have a multiplayer kind of game.
Agreed. They'll definitely have some sort of multiplayer game. It is worth keeping in mind that when the Switch launched, I think they were a little more rushed with the Switch in a way, and they only had Breath of the Wild and Snipper Clips. Everything else was third party. I do think Nintendo Switch 2 will launch with that multiplayer game ready. Like, I don't think we'll, because with the Switch 1, we had to wait for Mario Kart and wait for ARMS for a few months later, and Splatoon 2 a few months later. So I think in this time they're going to have that game ready, and I think it's not going to be a crappy game like 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
Are there any third-party launch games that you really think could happen?
As far as the day of launch, I mean, some of the ones you named, I guess, just games that have already come out. I think Baldur's Gate 3 is a good idea. Resident Evil 4, yeah. I think I could see it coming. I don't know if I'd see it as a launch game, but definitely possible. It depends when Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out, because I know there's rumors of that being a launch title.
Grant, there's absolutely no way that Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming out in March. Zero.
I know. That's why I just said it won't come out as a launch title. But if it did, I can see Grand Theft Auto 6 coming out for the Switch 2 is what I'm trying to say. So if it by some miracle did come out before, it would be a launch title. But
well, it,
no.
But it
what?
the GTA 6 is not coming out before the Switch 2 if we're predicting the Switch 2 is coming out in March.
I just said it like three times.
Okay, sorry. You just said it kind of weird where you're like, oh, it would be a launch title.
I'm just saying, I know 100% it's not, but I'm just saying if it did, Grand Theft Auto 6 will come. Grand Theft Auto 6, whenever it comes out, will come for the Switch 2 is my prediction. So if by some miracle, if by some miracle in some holy world it did come out at the same time the Switch 2 did come out or before, it would be a launch title. But I agree with you. Of course it's not going to come out before the Switch 2, so it's not a launch title.
The miracle would be more like a disaster where Nintendo delays the Switch 2 for like 9 months, and then it comes out with GTA 6. I actually think GTA 5 is very possible.
That's a good prediction, yeah.
At launch, too. I mean, obviously they just put Red Dead Redemption 1 on the Switch.
You know, I know we have a third-party port game, but I think like you said, Street Fighter 6, I could see Mortal Kombat 1 coming out. I could see like just a lot of those kind of games that have been big this past year or two that the Switch just wasn't capable of handling. I could see them saying, yeah, they're all coming.
I agree. And I wonder though, I mean, we know, like, I think it's almost a guarantee that Capcom will be there at launch. They usually are for Nintendo, and it's worth keeping in mind, like, Resident Evil 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are already on Switch, even if they're cloud versions.
Do you think, did they say when Monster Hunter, whatever it's called, is
Wilds,
Sunbreak?
2025.
Wilds, yep.
Sunbreak is the DLC for Rise.
Right.
But that I actually have that in my 7 prediction. So okay. I was just wondering, in terms of actual launch games, do you think that there will be like a third-party launch game that's like a Switch exclusive? Like that's like not a port, but like an actual big brand new third party exclusive. Do you think that's possible? Like a new Mega Man or something? Like something, is that even, I mean, with the popularity of Switch, I can see it happening, but I'm just not, what do you think?
Like, I don't think so. The only thing I could kind of see maybe is a Square Enix kind of, you know, JRPG game, maybe a Capcom game, but honestly, no. 'Cause like really just as far as the feasibility of money, most third-party studios don't want to do exclusives anymore.
You're right. And the time it takes to make a big new exclusive, I mean, when you really think about the Switch's entirety, like how many third-party exclusives were there in total? Like,
yeah.
Not a lot of
I don't think Nintendo plays that way. I don't think Nintendo wants a lot of third-party exclusives. They'll take them, but I don't think they're going to money hat them kind of the way Sony and Microsoft do. I think they are happy to say our first party games are what we, you know, are great, and we have third party games. But if third party games are all, like, Nintendo doesn't sell their system on third party game exclusives.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah. But I was just wondering, because there was that rumor that came out, not a credible rumor, that Nintendo was looking, you know, how Nintendo's worked with, you know, Namco and Tecmo Koei and different developers on their own franchises. Like,
mm-hmm.
Namco makes Smash, Tecmo Koei made, you know, whatever. You know, even Platinum Games worked on Star Fox Zero. Maybe there's that rumor that came out that Nintendo's looking for more of those partners. So I do wonder if there's, like, the potential that, I don't know, you know, Tecmo Koei is working on another Warriors game, like a Kirby Warriors or something, or a Xenoblade Warriors, or, you know, Namco's working on a Soul Calibur that, like, Soul Calibur cross Zelda. Or the way Namco made the Pokemon fighting game.
Definitely lots of potential of possibility.
Yeah, but it's very hard to predict those, because those would be like surprises. But I can see there being one of those third-party partnership surprises for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Derek. So the next question was, I put 3 first-party launch year games. Now I'm gonna say I have 5 here.
Okay.
But one of them was Switch Sports Resort, which I can see coming out like a month after the Switch, so we'll cancel that one. But it's your guess anyway. So what do you think are some 3 to 5 first party launch year, launch window Switch 2 games? Switch Nintendo Slide games. Mario Slide, Kirby Slide, Zelda Slide.
You laugh, but some of those actually are pretty good names.
I'm sorry, Slide would be the biggest disaster name since Xbox Series. Okay.
I'm not trying to coin that name. I'm just saying it'll be a different... Like, I'm just giving general ideas because, of course, I'm not going to guess the exact word of the...
No one could have predicted the Switch, right?
Yeah,
or the GameCube. So
thank you. Thank you for just fine.
I predicted the Wii. I'm just kidding.
Could you imagine?
It's going to be called, like, the Twee, you know?
So I obviously Mario, but I'll say some other ones. I think we'll see Metroid Prime 4 come out in 2025. I think if we're assuming March for you know the system in Mario, I could see Metroid Prime 4 being like a May, you know, June, July kind of release date. As kind of like, hey, yeah, we got like a mature game coming, like, you know, all the hardcore gamers, whatever. And then I strongly, strongly believe Mario Kart 10 or Mario Kart X or whatever it is will come out in that 2025 calendar year. I predict it'll be kind of like the October game, maybe November.
Yep.
But I would just be shocked if they don't get Mario Kart, the new one, out as fast as possible.
100% agree. Do you have any other predictions for that first year?
I mean, I could always just speculate on the usual ones. Like, I could see an Animal Crossing being announced or a Smash Bros. I don't think those games will come in the first year. I think, honestly, as far as big, big Nintendo games, I think those three are kind of the most likely ones of Mario, Metroid Prime 4, and Mario Kart. That doesn't mean there won't be other smaller games, like you said, like Switch Sports or, you know, kind of second party games like a Mushu Warriors game or maybe a Fire Emblem, like, you know, the rumor we've heard about Fire Emblem Genealogy of the Holy War remake.
I think that's a this year game, but for Switch, but yes.
Me too. I'm just saying I could see those kind of smaller games coming out.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree that, I mean, my list is a new Mario Kart and Metroid Prime 4 as well. Will kind of be like, between 3D Mario, Metroid Prime 4, and a new Mario Kart, those will be their smash, big smash hitters on that first year.
Yeah, and you'll hit every group of purchaser, right? Like, every person would want to buy one of those games.
Yeah, and I think they'll really, they'll round out, you know, between, those are mega popular series, Metroid less so, but it will... You know, we'll get the showcase the new graphic ability. We'll, you know, get the high review scores. I added on my list here. I think they'll because Zelda. You know, we just got the Tears of the Kingdom. I think we'll finally see a Twilight Princess and the Wind Waker, but they'll be 4K. So I think they'll kind of say Twilight Princess 4K, the Wind Waker 4K. Maybe they'll have some Joy-Con functionality, like, you know, with the IR sensor, but. I think those ports could come throughout the year. I think we could see something, one of the small titles could be like a new Namco. Namco makes the Mario All-Stars Baseball.
Mm.
I feel like that could be a cross-gen. Like, it could be on the Switch and the Switch 2. But like maybe the Switch 2 has like a better motion controls, you know?
I could also see a Mario Tennis or a Mario, you know, Golf. Somewhere making it. I would say it's, you know, it would be probably the next year, like 2026, you know, in the first half. But yeah,
I also think that we might see something from Monolith Soft, because they have a huge, like, their studio is huge. Like, they have a couple hundred people, and I know they do a lot of support work on Zelda and stuff, but I think we might see if not a new Xenoblade game, I actually think we'll see maybe a new IP from them, and maybe it'll be fill kind of that holiday JRPG slot. Or it'll be like the following January, February slot within the first year. That's like a brand new RPG.
I think Xenoblade 4 is a really good prediction, because Xenoblade 3 and its DLC like got great reviews, and I think they sold quite well. And I think that franchise has kind of taken off as being like, you know, a pretty solid franchise from Nintendo. Yeah.
I agree. I do. There were rumors, not rumors, but like Monolith Soft was... But did post job listings to hire people for a brand new game and showcase like art and stuff that had nothing to do with Xenoblade. So that's why I think some people think that they might finally branch off into something else. They've literally, since Nintendo's bought them, have done nothing but Xenoblade. So I think at some point, you know, three systems in, maybe they get a shot to do something that's...
True, especially if they're that big. Maybe they're having two games to develop at the same time. One game that I just thought of that would also be pretty good is, or not pretty good, pretty obvious, is the Pokemon game that was just announced, Pokemon Legends AZ or whatever it is. that is either going to be a launch game or coming out within the 2025. Like, it is coming 2025, so.
I think that'll be, like, for Switch, like they said, and it'll be, like, a January launch, the same way the Pokemon Legends Arceus was.
Okay, well, even if so, there will be a Pokemon game for the Switch too.
I'm not actually so sure about that, because the Pokemon company has, their history is not to have game ready for a new hardware the first year, like, ever. Even when the 3DS came out, Black and White was a DS game, right? Well, like, 6 months into the 3DS's life cycle, Black and White was out for DS. And they had nothing ready for the Switch until 2018 with Pokemon Let's Go. Like, Pokemon company doesn't traditionally have something ready for new hardware. But just before we move on to the next question. So, do you think games like Mario Kart, Metroid Prime 4, other of these potentials will be cross-gen? Or do you think they'll just be straight-up Switch 2?
I think those three games, the Mario universe or whatever, Metroid Prime 4, I could see that going either way of being a Switch port or not. And Mario Kart 10, no, for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. The one I'm kind of on the fence on is, you know, Metroid Prime 4, they announced it for the Switch. It's been 7 years or however long it's been. And I could see them almost using that as the game to boast, look at the upgrade potential. Yeah, but saying you can play it on the Switch at 30 frames or whatever, but if you want to play it 4K 60 or whatever it is, like that would be almost the backwards compatible game to show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say I'd be very disappointed if it was cross-gen, because it means that there's an inferior version they had to account for. And I also think, given the amount of time that Retro's had, at some point a few years ago, they basically said, start developing this something really awesome for our new hardware that shows off the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see Metroid Prime. I don't really see Nintendo embracing cross-gen the same way that Sony and Microsoft have. I'm just going to say that now.
Hmm.
I think they're going to rip the Band-Aid off and let Switch kind of dither and kind of hope their audience moves on to the Switch 2. With Mario Kart, we've talked about our prediction before of what it could do new, but I think with the IR, it could do some cool stuff with the IR pointing, you know, aiming the shell.
Yeah, that's true.
But then that wouldn't really work with someone who's playing handheld, so who knows? Okay, well, third-party notable ports coming within the first, like, let's say, year. We've already named a few. I guess I go first here. You already mentioned Monster Hunter Wilds. I think that's a shoo-in. I think that it's even possible that Monster Hunter Wilds comes out in March as a launch game. The day Switch 2 launches, Monster Hunter Wild launches on Switch, PS5, Xbox. So I think it's like almost a guarantee. I think games like, you know, Persona 6 and Persona 3 Golden will come. But my other notable ones was, I think, Red Dead Redemption 2 and or GTA 5 will come to Switch 2. And I also said Cyberpunk 2077. What do you think, Derek? Any big notable third-party predictions?
I mean, kind of the ones I've already mentioned that we've already kind of talked about. I think Baldur's Gate 3 was kind of the big one that I thought is that's just for sure going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I agree just kind of the sense of the Capcom games. I mentioned Monster Hunter Wilds. I think Street Fighter 6 is a good idea. I think a Resident Evil. I think 4 is a great idea. Even 8 would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Just because 8 is that first person, and if you want to talk about that IR, then boom, that's a great game to also throw that into. I wouldn't be surprised, again, like you mentioned, Ubisoft, you know, Assassin's Creed, but I could also see Rayman coming in. I don't know, a bunch of sports games. There's many, many games I could list, but kind of the ones we've already named.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on to the last prediction. Backwards compatibility, will it be there, and how will it be handled? So Derek, you can go first. And I have a pretty extensive breakdown of how I think it'll work, so I'm interested to hear yours.
Oh my god, mine's like 15 seconds, so
okay.
Anyways, mine is, yes, it'll be backwards compatible. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be either the same cartridge size, or it'll be a different cartridge size, and it'll work like the DS did with Game Boy Advance games. Or it'll be like there's two slots beside each other, or it'll be
like
one
the 3DS. That kind of fits. Remember, the 3DS had like the cartridge was almost the same as the DS, but it had a little pin on it so that.
Exactly. So it'll either be like two. it'll either be two slots or they both could fit into the same slot. And as far as it goes with like up-resing and upgrading and things like that, I think they'll follow the same model that's kind of been happening where the game can be played on the, like a Switch game can be played on the Switch 2. And it might have some small improvements as like load times and things like that. But if you actually want to play the Switch 2 version of it, you have to pay that $10 or whatever for the majority of games. I wouldn't say every game because every publisher does it differently, but I think we will have to be paying for those upgrades.
Yeah, I'm basically on the same page as you. I think that Nintendo will allow third parties to have charge whatever they want for upgrades. Like if a third party doesn't want to do an upgrade, like let's say for something like Mortal Kombat 1, which it is on Switch, Warner Brothers could either, you know, give a free...
Mortal Kombat 1 is on Switch?
Yeah, and it's apparently god-awful.
I did not know that.
But you know what's funny? Like, I know someone who has it, and I'm like, do you realize this is a god-awful port? And he's like, what? It's fine. I don't notice it. So I'm like, people just don't care. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think like something like Warner Brothers could say, no, we're just going to release Mortal Kombat 1 as a separate release on Switch 2. Or we charge you $20 for upgrade. Or we you know, it's a free upgrade. So I think they'll let third parties do what they want. I think Nintendo will charge somewhere between $5 to $10 per game upgrade. And I think they'll kind of coin it something like, you know, the Switch, the Pro mode or something. And I think they'll roll it out in groups. And I think at the very moment they launch the Switch, they're gonna kind of show off like the first group of games that will be upgradable. And that'll include like frame rate, resolution, load time improvements, even textures.
Yeah.
Even, you know, with their advanced rumble, maybe they'll have the IR pointer controls. Like, they'll just do things like that. And I think the first 10 games will be Mario Odyssey, Smash Bros., Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, Link's Awakening, Bayonetta 3, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Pikmin 4, and Princess Peach Showtime.
I suppose you said Three Houses and not Engage.
I just think Three Houses was more successful, more popular, and
I know. I just think as far as like more recent people, they'll spend more time just upgrading the newest game.
I think they'll kind of do a mix. And I mean, you kind of notice I didn't say Mario Kart there because I think they're gonna be want people to focus on the new Mario Kart. But I can also see Mario Kart being there too. And I also think it's very possible. We talked about this where something like, hey, here's Smash Bros. Pay the $10 extra and you get frame rate boost, load time boost, and you get like all the DLC. And then you go to the store and they say, we're also going to print a new, we're going to do reprints of Smash Bros. Ultimate with the Switch 2 logo on the box, Game of the Year edition, including all these. And it'll actually be $80 now. It'll be $10 more than it was on the Switch because we're including that $10 upgrade within the cartridge. So it kind of, in a way, markets it like a brand new Smash Bros. Game that people who aren't invested in the Switch ecosystem can say, well, I want to go and buy a Switch 2 in Smash Bros. Smash Bros. Ultimate Pro. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of all aligned, you know?
Ultimate Slide.
Ultimate Slide, yeah. Ultimate Slide. We want Slide Mode. Now, Derek, with all that said, what do we think the Switch holiday will be? Now, I mean, I know we've sort of done predictions before, but we just kind of laid out a lot of stuff. What could possibly be coming for Switch this fall? What do you think?
Yeah, like you know, I could see it being a bunch of third-party games. I could see, you know, a surprise Donkey Kong game. I could see throwing out a port, like the Zelda ports or F-Zero GX. Yeah, like I don't think it'll be anything huge. Like, I think the biggest thing we could probably get is like a brand new DK game. But even then, I don't think that makes sense as far as, you know, usually especially with Nintendo, but for any console, is when a new system is coming out and kind of starting to be talked about, is we do have a lighter kind of year for software. Not that games aren't coming out, but we do see more ports. We do see kind of those smaller titles like, you know, Princess Peach, Luigi's Mansion 2. I don't necessarily know if there's going to be a big heavy game coming this holiday. The biggest one is kind of one you already mentioned, is that Fire Emblem Genealogy of the Holy War. That could be their kind of sales sunset game. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to predict because, I mean, we just found out last week that Paper Mario is coming in May. Luigi's Mansion is coming in, what, June or July? And there's really nothing else announced after that.
So what I, but again, don't forget that at least what from the rumors is that the Switch 2 was supposed to come out this year. So there is that idea that maybe it was supposed to come out in September or October, and all of a sudden it's not, and they just are like, well, let's just leave it the slate. Like they had nothing to fill that those 3 or 4 months. Who knows?
Yeah, I agree, and it's this weird thing. Like, I mean, I put on my list the Fire Emblem game. I put on Yoshi's Woolly World. I put on Metroid Prime 2 Remastered, and I put on a
That'd be a good one.
2D Donkey Kong. But I think I really hope Yoshi Woolly World comes because I just want that game. But a 2D Donkey Kong, you're right. It's kind of like, well, is it better to release on the Switch very, very late in the cycle and be kind of the big holiday game when we already know Switch 2's coming? Does that kind of kneecap the sales of this new Donkey Kong again?
Exactly.
Or is it does it kneecap the sales to put Donkey Kong on a brand new system that has no user base? Or does it become cross-gen? Like what I don't know the answer to that.
Honestly, like my deep belief is that there is no Donkey Kong game being made, at least from what
It's
people
not even
predict. And
real.
it's just a rumor that's been going on, like kind of like how Star Fox Grand Prix lasted forever. Like I just don't think those are actual things that were ever coming.
I think we have to eventually get another Donkey Kong game because it's a popular franchise. And the thing is, other than we all know why Tropical Freeze didn't do amazing, but Donkey Kong Country Returns sold over 10 million copies. Like, Donkey Kong Country Returns was exceptionally successful.
Don't get me wrong. I think a Donkey Kong game will come. I just don't think a Donkey Kong game is. There probably is one in development. I just don't think there's one, like, as people have said, is nearing the completion point and nearing a release point. I think it's like there'll be a Donkey Kong game coming, like, end of 2026, maybe 2027, halfway through. Like, I just think it'll be a game to fill out one of their other lineups. And again, we've talked about Nintendo before where they have finished games before. And they sit on them, or they have a small team polish them for a long time until it's the right window for them to release that game. There could be a Donkey Kong game that's done. I can't imagine it releasing in the next even 18 months.
Yeah, I agree. And I at this point, it's weird. It's like I'd almost rather have a brand new 2D Donkey Kong for a Switch 2 that has wicked graphics and zero load times. And I've been playing a lot of Pikmin 4, and the load times are just so annoying. So I kind of at that point would rather that. But at the same time, I just don't see Nintendo going a holiday cycle with nothing new from their own studios. I really think they gotta have something.
Yeah, but I could see it as being like a Warriors game or a Fire Emblem game, or I'm just making this up, like an Animal Crossing DLC or a JRPG by Square Enix. That's Bravely Default 3. Like I just don't know if they're gonna have a tentpole Nintendo game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard. It could be another Mario Party. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of things it could be, but
Exactly.
interesting. Okay, well, let's hope it all comes to be because I think if our predictions are right, Nintendo Switch 2 is going to be very successful.
Yes, the Nintendo Bros have said the Nintendo system will be successful.
I just mean launching with a brand new 3D Mario and Mario Kart and
Oh
Metroid
yeah.
Prime 4, and it could be really big, where in the past, we've had the Wii U launch with New Super Mario Bros. And so,
Yeah, I'm honestly just kidding. Like, I honestly think the Switch 2 will be a huge hit.
I agree. Okay, Derek, let's transition to what we've been playing.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, I've only been playing one game, so I'm gonna get it out of the way, and then I want to hear what you've been playing. But I've been trying to 100% Pikmin 4. So I've been playing a lot of that. Probably gonna play more tonight.
Did you finish Olimar's story?
Yes, but I still don't have these other things that you're
Yeah, if
talking
you
about.
finish if you beat Olimar's story, then you unlock the pipe with the guy that gives you those difficult time trials.
No, but here's the other thing. I haven't beaten the other portion of the game yet.
Doesn't matter.
Then I gotta look for this pipe because I don't think
It's like
I.
in the hub world, like the home hub.
Okay,
Yeah.
so I've been just kind of like wanting to go in 100% the rest of the actual main story. And it's great. I gotta say, like, the more I play this game and like the harder it gets, it just is so much more so much more rewarding. Like last night, I just like platinumed a couple of Dindori challenges, and that's probably the
Nice.
highlight of the game for me.
That's why you got to play these Sage Trials because it's literally Dandori challenges, but like hard ones.
Great. Okay, I'm into it. I will say, like, I ran into a little bit of a snag playing, kind of trying to 100% it, where I was like constantly going to the same cave to farm purple Pikmin.
Oh, don't do that.
But how do you get that gold bar, right? You need the purple Pikmin for the gold bar.
Nope. Just you should just keep playing the main levels.
Okay, there's like a way to get
You
that.
do I do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
You'll get a purple onion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
So
obnoxious. So, well, I mean, I already have over 100, so I just spent over an hour just going to the same cave over and over. Because in the
my
Pikmin 2,
God.
you never got an onion for purple. You had to
I
farm
know,
them in the
yeah.
cave,
The, yeah,
so.
so you get an onion of every color in this game.
Now, there's a
The final boss of the game is super good too. I really liked it.
there's also another thing that I found extremely annoying, where there was a cave that had in the one of the levels, where you have to have a code to unlock a safe. Do you remember that? A
Maybe, yeah.
three-number code to unlock a safe. I did not know what that code was. So, and I clearly I did that cave and I did everything but that code. So I'd already left that cave. So I didn't 100% it, which is probably my mistake. But I'm like, what the hell is the code on this thing? So I thought it was the same code as the safe from the home level. It's not. Then I go online and realize that there's three cards, playing cards that you collect in that cave.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't it in the actual area of that cave? Yeah.
Yeah, but if you leave the cave having already collected those cards then just go into your collection of all the other cards you've gotten. So it's like basically I had to go to the guy. My only solution was to go. If you do it all at one time, it's not as hard, right? Because you collect 30
Yeah.
numbers, it's easy. I had to go to the guy in the hub, go to my section and look at the different cards that I had. Then I had to go online and find out which of those three cards are, because there's cards that are not part of the code. They're random, the number. Then I had to go online and find out what three are a part of it, and then I had to randomly guess between those three cards.
That can't be right. There's nothing in the card description that says this was found in.
No, not that I didn't read the description though, but
Well,
I
I'm sure I guarantee the description says this was found in the submerged cave level 3.
I'm just saying it was one of the most obtuse things I had seen in a Nintendo game.
Well, don't play any more puzzle games.
But I gotta say, I'm absolutely loving this game. I the more I play it, the more I love it, and it's crazy to me that it's almost been a full year that I've been playing this game, and it feels like it's so incredibly full of content. Like I haven't even tackled most of the night levels, so I gotta
And
go back and do a bunch of those now too.
you honestly though the Sage Trials and the final cave of the whole game are both awesome. Like don't stop playing that game until you get to both those things.
Yeah, it's a funny game because it starts off very casual and almost to the point where I'm like, this is way too easy. I was almost bored. Like it almost felt like it was too easy. But as I get further, it's really starting to show like, wow, no, this game is really engaging and has some difficulty and is making me think. And I'm still gonna say I find the t like it can be very annoying to like go like the load times are annoying, right? Like you gotta load back to the hub, talk to the guy, load back to the level, walk to a cave, load the cave, load the next floor, load back to the level, load back to the hub. Like it's the structure of the game annoys me. But at this point, about a few weeks ago, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I still think Pikmin 3 is my favorite because I love the way that game's designed, it has co-op. But I think I can firmly say now that Pikmin 4 is my favorite of the series.
Yeah, Pikmin 4 is my favorite. Pikmin 3 is honestly my least favorite.
Oh, I would actually go Pikmin 4 number 1, Pikmin 3, Pikmin 2, then last, sorry, Pikmin 1, then last would be Pikmin 2.
Nice.
We've talked about our rankings before, but anyways, Derek, what are you playing?
Yeah, so four games, kind of the same ones that I've mentioned before, but I had more time to go with them. For multiplayer, playing Ghost of Tsushima's Legends with some friends. I haven't played the single player game in quite a while, but my friends wanted to play it. Super fun. Having a lot of fun with it. good RPG kind of progression, fun combat, fun kind of co-op.
So it's a co-op in the whole open world.
Not in the whole open world. It's like a little, like there's like 10 levels and like one of the, it's like you have to defend certain points from like a horde of guys coming in. So you get like, there's different characters that you play as with different abilities. So I'm playing as the archer and I can use like my special at headshots three guys at once. So we kind of like work as a team and it's just kind of like, you're just playing the action part of Ghost of Tsushima in a small map. Yeah, it's really fun. My other multiplayer game I'm playing is Helldivers 2. So I play that with another friend once in a while. Yeah, that game's super awesome. Like, to me, it's kind of up there with Returnal, you know, the game from a few years ago, where in the sense that they're probably my two favorite PS5 kind of original exclusive games. Because most other PS5 games that I like are either PS4 as well, or they're just continue on franchises. Yep. Where Returnal's something new, Helldivers 2, I know it's a continuance, but I didn't play the first one. So super duper fun. Like, if there's any reason to get a PS5, it'd be those two games, and I would encourage anyone to grab them. And then single player, Final Fantasy VII and Unicorn Overlord.
So tell me about those. Like, how are you balancing playing both of those RPGs?
Yeah, so I played Final Fantasy VII for a fair bit. I'm probably like, I'm going to guess like one third of the way through and kind of doing some open world sections.
It's a huge game, isn't it? It's like hugely long, right?
Yeah, like I haven't felt like it's hugely long. Like, I'm sure it is. Like I'm trying to do everything as I go. So again, I don't know how far I actually am in that game. I'm on chapter 7, I think, of how many, I don't know.
Okay.
But I got to like this kind of third. So basically how it works is like there's an open world section where you can do like kind of the way you would do any open world game with like some check marks and some battles and some discoveries and some side quests. And then you kind of continue on the story and there's like a linear dungeon or a linear kind of chapter or two where the story unfolds a bit more and you're kind of like, you know, you're just kind of fighting bosses and unraveling the story. And then another open world section in the next area and you kind of do the same thing. You kind of rinse and repeat both those kind of two portions of gameplay. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten to the third, maybe the fourth open world section, and I honestly am not suffering fatigue or saying like this game's getting repetitive. I just was kind of like, well, I'm just not sure I'm ready to spend the time and kind of take on another open world right now. So I just put it on pause and I was like, I wanted to give Unicorn Overlord a go and see what it was all about. So I said, oh, I'll swap over and give this other game a chance. And Unicorn Overlord is super, super fun. It's like Fire Emblem on crack is the way I kind of describe it.
With probably really good art style, too. I love VanillaWare's art.
I love their art, too. Like, that's one of the main drawing points. And the reason I honestly got it on the PS5 instead of the Switch is just because I wanted that 4K and just great graphics.
How is the story? Is it, like, a really long, involved story or something?
Like, I would say it's as intricate and simple or intricate and interesting as a Fire Emblem story where it's like you kind of tell there's a bad guy and you kind of like, oh, you got to liberate the prince that ran away and 10 years later came back and trying to liberate by, you know, corralling an army together and getting all these kind of, you know, different people to join your clan to take back the throne kind of idea. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. Like it does enough to carry it. I'm more of a sucker for like interesting characters and especially character designs. So it's kind of like Fire Emblem where it's like, do the characters actually have a lot of depth to them? No. But they all kind of have unique personalities and unique kind of play styles and graphics. So I like that a lot. The thing that really is selling me on the game is the gameplay itself. Like the combat and the, I like to say the theory crafting and the kind of the team building aspect of it is way more involved than I thought. And there's just like a lot of technical kind of manipulations that you can do with, you know, for example, you can have an arm, like you can have different squads, you can have up to 10 squads and each one can hold, I'm at the point where I can have four members of my team in each squad. So like, for example, I'll have an archer, a healer, a guy on a horse and an axe warrior. But the thing is, it's like, oh, the archer's really good at taking out flying dragons on the enemy team. So what I can do is I can program my archer to like, if there's a flyer on the other team, use my super arrow on the flyer. So he'll automatically do that every time there's a flyer, and if not, he'll revert to a different set of commands I give him. So
the gambit the way system. That,
yeah, it's the gambit system. So basically, it's almost like coding on a computer, where it's like you give them conditional operations, and sometimes they work on each other. So it's like, oh, if one of my allies is below 50 HP and he's on the front row of my squad, heal him before you heal anyone in the back row of the squad. Mm. So you play this whole scenario in your head of how you want each squad to kind of move through the scenario, and then you unlock more heroes and bigger squads, and you want to switch your squads, and you get items that might change how a character plays completely. Like I have a healer, for example, that instead of healing now, she gives an extra command to someone else. So I'm like, well, now I don't want her to heal the weakest character. I want her to give that extra command to the highest damage giving character. So like the whole dynamic of there's just so much depth in the.
And then the battles play out themselves. Like, you don't have to really engage the battle that much, do you?
So it's kind of like Fire Emblem in the sense that the actual combat, like, they zoom into a combat sequence, and it's like they'll swing their swords and fire their arrows on their own based on your sequences. But then you zoom back out into the overworld, and you're directing your characters to, like, so, like, again, my seven squads, I might have three rushing the castle of the enemy and two going up north to take a chest or rescue a prisoner. And like one has to defend my own base because you lose the map if the enemy team takes over your base. So I'm like frantically trying to push while also defend, while also do a side objective. And then you get some special abilities. So like, for example, if I have my squad, you have squad leaders. So if my archer's a squad leader, then he can shoot arrows from a distance. Or if I have my witch as a squad leader, she can teleport to one of my allies. So I can do a lot of things in the overworld, but whenever I actually come face to face with an enemy in the overworld, it zooms in and does that kind of Fire Emblem, you know, automatic, they trade attacks, then it zooms back out, and then you get a...
And by overworld, you mean like the map for that one battle?
So yeah, it's kind of cool where like, so there's the map for that battle, but that map for the battle is just a portion of the overworld. And then after you beat that battle, you can go back to free roaming the whole overworld again. So you kind of like free roam the overworld, and there's like a...
Oh wow, so it's like almost like an open world Fire Emblem in a sense.
Yeah, so it's like there's an open world, and like once in a while you'll run into a dialogue of someone saying like, hey, help me rescue this village, and a flag will appear. And if you click on that flag, it'll say, do you want to start this engagement? And it'll instantly just go... And you'll go into the engagement in that section of the overworld. But like the town you're actually rescuing is a town you can visit in the open world because you're fighting in the open world.
Oh, cool. And so when you lose a battle, it's not like Fire Emblem where it's like stages where it's like you lose a battle, try it again. It's like it's more dynamic.
No, it's not. So that's not as dynamic as you'd think. So if you win a battle, it will change the overworld. But if you lose a battle, it'll be like Fire Emblem where it's like, oh, you can play it again. Or you could say no, and you can run somewhere else and do a different battle. Like I have like probably 25 different missions I can do right now of varying levels. But it's like, you know, there's three or four of them that I have to beat to continue the story. And if I fail them, I don't lose my castle or lose ground. I just have to restart that mission.
Wow, that sounds really cool. Like really kind of groundbreaking in a way, the way they've approached strategy RPGs.
It's honestly, it's like Fire Emblem on crack. Like, it's super addicting, and the gameplay is awesome. Like, it's just...
So, how's the music?
Yeah, music's great. Graphics are great. Story's serviceable. Characters are interesting enough.
And you're not seeing through walls and walls of text, eh? Like, tons of...
No, look, it's kind of like Fire Emblem, where it's like, you know, before a mission, you might have, like, you know, three characters in a little cutscene with their anime characters, and they'll exchange, I don't know, 15 text bubbles. And then it'll zoom out and you do the mission. And then at the end, they'll do another 5 or 6 text bubbles.
Okay, so it's reasonable. Yeah. I heard Triangle Strategy had a lot of text.
So I played Triangle Strategy, and that game is almost a visual novel. Like it's the text comes slowly, and it's just slowly drawn out. And only one, it's like 1/3 of the game is story, 1/3 of the game is a mystery puzzle, and 1/3 of the game is the combat. Where this game is like, 85-90% is the combat, and the last 10% is just this.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you have Octopath Traveler 1 and 2, you've got Unicorn Overlord, you've got Triangle Strategy, and you've got Fire Emblem Engage and Three Houses, how do you rank those?
Octopath Traveler 2, Unicorn Overlord, but I haven't beaten it, Octopath Traveler 1, Fire Emblem Engage, not playing a game, Triangle Strategy.
Why? Because you don't like Triangle Strategy?
like it's one of those games where I'm trying to think of a good example.
Because you beat it. You finished it, right?
I beat it. Yeah, it's like one of those games where you appreciate it and you know it's a good game, but you while playing it, you just know it's not the right game for you. Like, you just know it's not a game for you.
Okay, interesting.
Like, it's yeah, it's just so slow. And I think I realized, because I was trying to play Tactics Ogre, or Ogre Tactics, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And I think I just hate isometric strategy RPGs. Like Final Fantasy Tactics kind of games, where it's like that grid-based, but it's not Fire Emblem top-down. It's like that...
Yeah. You know,
I just cannot... every single time I've ever tried any of those games, it's slow, it's boring. The text is like super medievally. Not for me at all.
Interesting. And I'm always wondering, why do these strategy RPGs always take place in a medieval setting? Like, wouldn't it be cool if there was like a sci-fi strategy RPG?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So, I guess, I gotta say, so Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, it's not selling so well, especially mm-hmm. in Japan. I don't know. I mean, I gotta say, like, I feel disconnected in a way, because whenever I look at that game and the gameplay and videos and reviews, I don't see what's so good about it. I feel like we're living in a post Tears of the Kingdom, post Baldur's Gate, post.
But it's such a different game. Like I'll say this: the polish is there. The mini games, that's a love or hate thing. You either like mini games or you don't, and there's a lot of them in this game. You know, is the traversal kind of old school, where it's like, yeah, you can't jump through the sky and fly and have that freedom. But the combat
looks really awesome.
That's the main selling point for me. The combat is super fun, and the rest is more just like, I like the, like, it looks amazing. Like, it looks really good. And the story's interesting enough, and I want to kind of know what happens in Final Fantasy VII. And there's a lot of, like, cities and characters and RPG elements to it. But really, the combat just kind of ties it all together for me.
It just, when I look at it, it seems like every time story comes up, it's like cringy, bad anime. And there's just something about, like, going to a town that's, like, from what I've seen in the gameplay, it's just, like, it doesn't have that wondrous feeling of, like, oh, I'm in this bustling town, I'm going to explore, and I can't wait to talk to everybody. It's just kind of like, whatever.
Oh, I'm kind of the opposite, where it's, like, the towns are, like, one of the highlights for me. It's, like, oh, I'm actually in a real town right now. It's really cool.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, interesting. I mean, I'm glad you like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah. I like all the games I'm playing.
Cool. Okay. Well, is there anything else to touch on this week, Derek? I mean, we've already talked for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's it on my end.
All right. Well, without further ado, if you're listening, please leave us a comment. Send us some money donations.
And, yeah, let us know your predictions of the Switch 2 or the Switch Slide.
Yeah, the Switch Slide.
Could you imagine, it wasn't just Slide, it was Switch Slide.
If it's called Switch Slide, then that'd be the most, like, this podcast will blow up because you gave that ridiculous prediction.
Yeah.
If we called the Switch Wii. The Wii Switch U. The Wii Switch U 64 Cube. That's what it's
two.
Called.
And then two.
Imagine it was just called the GameCube 2. And, like, wasn't even, didn't even have handheld, it was just, like, another cube. And...
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for joining us this week. This is Nintendo Rose Pete signing out.
This is Derek. See you later.